Hello and welcome to the Holistic Homes Podcast. I am so excited that you are here for this episode. If you suspect that your home may have mold, or maybe you've already been down the journey of mold remediation and finding that remediation alone didn't really work to solve the issues within your home, you are not alone, and this episode is for you. Today, I had the pleasure of interviewing PJ, CEO of PJ Harlow Wellness, a completely virtual IICRC certified consulting firm that's specializing in holistic mold removal, decontamination, and remediation strategies, working together with you as a consultant on the mold front. So whenever clients come to me first and say, I've got mold in my home, or I've gone through remediation, or I'm not sure which mold inspector would be best to hire, or which mold decontamination protocol is the right fit, I just send them over to PJ because I am here as your consultant on the build back side of things or the new build side of things. Being a contractor, that is my avenue, or rather the lane that I stick in. But if you find that you are struggling or potentially struggling with mold in your home, PJ is a great resource to reach out to. I do have a code that is in the show notes. If you are wanting to work with PJ, you can use that code and get 10% off most of her services there. But today I want to jump in to this incredible interview. She shared a ton of information, not just on the remediation side of things, but how we can decontaminate our home. And she does have a guide that is going to walk you through how to do that yourself, because oftentimes this whole mold remediation journey can be quite draining financially. And so if you're looking to have some DIY opportunities, you'll want to check this out because she does offer some tips there. So let's get into the episode. Today is the day we have my very special, special guest. I've been looking forward to this interview from the day that we launched the podcast. Welcome, PJ Harlow. Thank you for being here.
Hello, love. It's so wonderful to be here.
This is going to be great.
It is fun because we're friends. So, I've been so stoked and waiting to do this. Like, it's going to be super awesome.
Two gals just talking about healthy homes. I mean, if I may say so, we are quite the dream team when we can have you on the front end of the mold remediation, inspection, consulting, walking people from the very beginning of when they have a moldy incident to where I get to come in post-remediation, post-testing, and help everyone put it back together. So that is how I feel. But please, will you introduce yourself and share with everyone just how wonderful you are and how you got into this space?
Yes. My name is PJ Harlow, and I am a holistic mold consultant. And I actually pioneered that term. And sometimes it gets confusing in the industry because there are mold consultants, which are oftentimes in some states, it differs, but in like Texas, they call mold consultants inspectors. But I am a holistic mold consultant. I don't inspect at all. We are strictly virtual consultants, and we really help people navigate through dealing with a sick home, a moldy home, a water damaged home from the very moment of discovery where you may think you have a problem all the way through, as you said, through remediation, recovery, trying to get your home back to being a healthy microbiome. We don't do build back. That's all your girl over here. But we do help people, you know, build their dream teams and really navigate this because it's super confusing. There's such a huge spectrum of different ways to remediate, but we are truly health focused. I think that's one of the major thing that makes us a little bit different from everybody else. And we also, I think as far as like our base kind of concepts is our goal is not to sterilize a home with a bunch of chemicals. We're trying to get that home back to a nice, diverse balanced microbiome, which is a condition one normal fungal ecology. And I think there's a lot of various ideas of what that actually means in the industry. And we can talk about that a little bit later. But that's a little bit of what we'll do. I'm sure we'll talk about that more today, but came into this industry through my own personal experience. And I had worked in the good old insurance industry for a couple decades. And you'd think that I would know all about mold, but I knew very little. And it wasn't until I got sick in a moldy home and just went through all the challenges that a lot of people are up against. And then I just realized, like, people need help. And I started out on the health side, and I went back to school and became a health practitioner and opened my practice in 2018 and started working with patients. And one of the very first things that we would discuss is, okay, what's up with your home? Where's the mold? Have you done any testing? Who is going to remediate? And people were so confused, Christine, on what to do, whether it came to hiring people, the different types of remediation and different types of inspections. People didn't even really know what they wanted, you know, and even what a healthy home means to them. And I've heard you talk about this, but I've talked about this before. It can mean so many different things to different people. And yeah. So, you know, that's kind of a challenge when you're in the middle of a crisis and you're scared and you're freaked out and maybe your health is being affected, maybe your children's health is being affected. So it's very hard for people to navigate this when they're in a panic, you know, and they're totally freaked out and just don't know who to trust. And there's just more ways that you can fail than you can actually succeed in trying to do it on your own. And so I started to help my patients and clients with that aspect. And it truly became, it was very organic. It became so popular, especially when COVID happened. We kind of blew up because everybody was indoors. Oh. And that is when my partner, Peter, my husband, he decided to come on board, and we've continued our education, became IICRC certified, and we have different designations, each of us, and have just continued to evolve. At one point, I was drawn in both directions. Should I still continue to work with people for health and do both, right? But I just felt like it was a disservice because both of these areas are so complex. And if you want to be the best and stay on your toes, you have to be focusing everything into kind of like one genre. So I decided to stop seeing people with health because at this point, there were many, many coaches and practitioners coming out and more growing in that field. But there was nobody doing this. So I kind of pioneered this role out of necessity. So that's how I started.
Definitely a necessity. Yes. I want to touch on something that you mentioned early was about the goal of our homes is not to get to a sterile environment, but a normal fungal ecology. What is that? What is that?
Yeah.
And how do we know that we've gotten to that point?
That's been a tough thing for a lot of people to define. But how we look at it is, you know, we are essentially microbial beings. We are made of microbes, right? And it's very similar to your gut. And I think this is where a lot of my concepts and methodology comes from, is because I have that kind of classical functional medicine training where there's so much focus on the gut and keeping your microbial diversity nice and balanced. And diversity is basically, you know, you don't just want one type of microbe in your gut. You want all different kinds, because even the good ones and the bad ones, that's what essentially trains our immune systems, is we get exposed to these good and bad microbes. And that's what keeps us so we're not naive, right? And it's the same thing in your home. You've got bacteria, fungi, protozoa, all yeasts, all kinds of little microbes everywhere. And it probably is like, ooh, like to some people, because we've been trained to think that all microbes are bad. With germ theory, it's like kill everything, sanitize every surface, you know, especially since we're post-COVID and the pandemic, there was a lot of fear that if you don't sterilize everything, then you're going to get sick. When really, there's such a thing as being too clean. They call it the hygiene hypothesis, where, you know, if we're sterilizing everything, then how are our immune systems going to learn, right? You become naive then, as I said. And then if you are exposed to something a little bit stronger, then you'll become very easily sick. And that's kind of the natural immunity that we're supposed to have. So when it comes to remediation, that usually means that the balance is off and that your home is sick. Your home is in a space where you have more pathogenic species and more toxins in your house than normal. And so our bodies are capable and magical. They're able to be exposed to all different kinds of things and we can handle it. But for some people, certain people are going to be more susceptible, whether that's genetics, okay, whether there's other areas of susceptibility and sensitivity, depending on your toxic load, what you've been exposed to in your life, you know, what your diet is, how well you eat, if you exercise, how much stress is in your life, are you constantly working 75 hours, or, you know, do you take the mental space? Are you constantly freaking out with anxiety, things like that? So all of those things can fill up that bucket, that potential toxic load bucket that everybody talks about. And so that can kind of tip the balance too. And this is how people get sick in a home. But the idea is, I may be going off track here, but the idea is to, when we talk about bringing it back to a normal fungal ecology, meaning we want it back in balance. It's not kill everything and remove everything. We want it to be balanced. And so, you know, it's more about removing visible water damage, you know, cleaning that area and cleaning the home and bringing that load down as much as we can.
So, would it be safe to say that a good balance would be when our outdoor mold is similar to what is going on indoors? Like if somebody were to test to kind of get into balance, would that be safe to say like we have a good harmony between what's going on directly outside of our home and what's going on inside? Or maybe inside should be a little bit lower than outside?
It really depends. It depends on the climate. Because if you do outdoor testing in Arizona versus outdoor testing in the middle of, you know, Florida in midsummer, you're going to have two totally different fungal ecologies. And even though, you know, somebody could per se say those are normal, normal doesn't equate to healthy. It depends on the inspector. But if you have a good inspector who's able to look through the house and ensure that there's no sources of water damage, and then you can do certain tests that are in the ranges of what would be under any sort of problem. Okay. And that's where a good mold inspector would come in, is because they can come in and do some of these professional tests. When it comes to post-remediation, that's a little bit different than a type of inspection beforehand. But post-remediation is usually primarily visual inspection. There's nothing that's going to replace a visual inspection. And there are primary tests that you'd want to get, like air sampling, swab testing for the area, that can kind of ensure that there's nothing left in those source areas. But, you know, ambient air sampling, every test has their pros and cons. So it's usually going to be a collective of visual inspection with some tests to ensure that you've passed PRV. Now, I want to say like a little caveat to that. When you finish remediation and your inspector comes back to do what's called PRV, post-remediation verification, this is the testing that is done to ensure that your remediator did a good job. Okay. That doesn't mean that your home has fully recovered and that it's completely healthy yet. Now, it may mean that they've removed the mold and that they've cleaned and done a good job, but most of the time when people are sick and they've had health issues, they're going to need to continue to deep clean after that. And it depends on how contaminated the house was, what species were there. You know, every home is going to be different. Every situation is going to be different. But this is another reason why it's great to have a good team, because they can guide the homeowner on what would really be recommended. And you can't use ERMI or any type of testing like that in PRV. It's just not going to be accurate.
Okay. Great point about that, because I think there's a lot of just misconception on, oh, I had an air sample done and it came back fine, or, oh, I had an ERMI done, it came back alarmingly high, but then I tore my house apart and nothing was found. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because the people need some clarity out here. What is the steps to take? There is no one size fits all, which I know can feel really frustrating to people when it's like, just tell me what to do. But it is going to be dependent on where their project is located, what the climate zone is, what's going on, like you said, outdoors, but also the condition of their home, the age of their home. So if somebody is listening today and says, you know what, I think I have mold, I don't know where it is, I don't know what's going on, what's my step one? And is there one test that's going to be enough? Or do they need to have multiple different kinds of testing?
Sure. Great question. And I'm going to say what I think, and this isn't like me trying to pitch myself in sales, but this is what I do and this is why I do it. The very first step should really be to work with a consultant, because it's just, you need somebody on your team to help you navigate this process. As I said earlier, there's just too many ways to fail. And there's just, it's so complicated that it's crazy to think that a homeowner is going to be able to learn all this stuff in the middle of a crisis. It's too much. I still learn things every day, and I've been doing this for like 6 years. So that would be first. What I usually recommend is an ERMI test, ERMI, and an interpretation. And I just want to be clear that I'm very, very opinionated about this. Now, there's a lot of controversy around the ERMI test. Lots of professionals hate it and some love it. And it's very confusing for people. They don't understand why there's this big fight about it. Well, the ERMI was never created with the intention of, hey, we're going to make this test and we're going to sell it to homeowners and they can use it to, you know, see if their homes are moldy. That was never the intention. The EPA created it for science experiments, and they were trying to create a moldiness index for homes. And that's what it was for. But we use the technology off-label, meaning off-label is a term that a lot of doctors will use. I would say like, oh, Christine, I'm going to prescribe you this propranolol, which is a beta blocker, a high blood pressure medication, but I'm going to prescribe it to you off-label for your anxiety. Okay. I would have to create my own dosage. I couldn't use the FDA approved dosage for high blood pressure. I would have to create my own dosage for you because I'd be prescribing it off-label. I use this term to kind of help with the analogy of how we're using the ERMI. I do not use the ERMI index or the score that you hear people talk about. I'm using the data in the ERMI along with data that the people are providing me in our interpretation intake. So I'm looking at the health of occupants. I'm looking at the history of the home. I'm looking at their sensitivity levels. I'm looking at how many water damage sources are there. How is the home maintained? Where is it at? What climate is it in? How the sampling was done? We have very specific instructions that we send out, because that matters too. The ERMI is not a yes or no test. We're looking to try to see any type of patterns or irregularities in the fungal biome of these 36 species of molds that are on the test. And personally, this might make some people angry, but I really don't think that the ERMI should be sold directly to homeowners because it does more bad than good, because the results are so complex to understand that people make very rash decisions. They do an ERMI and then they go on Facebook and then they put their results on Facebook and they're trying to get people to interpret it who aren't professionals. And people say, oh, you can run from that house or sell everything or throw everything away based off of just one ERMI. And it should never be used in that fashion. Okay. We're using it to try to get a gauge of like the overall risk of a home, but that's the difference between an interpretation and a reading. Like the lab may give a reading, which is like, let's say you got a blood test and you have like the little cheat sheet that says like what the ranges are. Okay.
Yeah.
And you could just say, oh, okay, your blood sugar is high, your blood sugar is low. That's a reading, okay? And there are companies out there that do readings, and it's just statistics. It's just scales. It's not an interpretation, which is different. And what I kind of explained, where we're taking like we're looking at everything through a holistic lens and really providing not only an assessment of the risk, but we help people understand what the next step should be and what pace they should be moving at. You know, mold kind of makes you automatically feel so much discomfort that people press the gas and they accelerate really fast. And they're like, let me just hire the first person who's nice to me. And nice doesn't equal that they really know what they're doing. So that would be the really first comprehensive step that we like to do to really understand what is happening with this family, with this house. And we really like to have, usually it's women who work with us the most. I'd say probably 98% of our clients are women, but we try to get the whole family on board, and we like to have everybody in our interpretation so we can talk about what are the next steps, which if we do find some elevations and some patterns that are irregular and we're seeing some correlation to health there, depending on what species come up, whether they're primary and secondary colonizers that are relative to like high humidity, condensation, HVAC problems, crawl space issues, basement problems, or if they may have tertiary colonizers that are more hydrophilic molds, Stachybotrys, Cotomium, Trichoderma, that are very often found where there's going to be water leaks and saturation somewhere. So we try to really identify some of that. I mean, certainly it's one test. It's one piece of data. So we're not going to be able to solve everything. It's just a step in that direction, a very first step. And then we would move to, do you need an inspector? And what type of inspector is going to be fitting for your budget, your home circumstances? How old is this home? Is it even able to be retrofitted into more higher performing? And is this your forever home? Are you just trying to maybe fix a problem, or do you really want to embark on this journey of creating a healthy home? Because there are two different paths, and I would hire different people for that. So we really try to curate for our members who join our practice. We try to curate like custom referrals, which I'm sure you're used to.
So important.
Team is really important. And, you know, I think that, again, with the spectrum, it's so difficult for homeowners to know who is going to check that box, you know, when you're not aware of the entire spectrum and what's in it. It's so hard to pick like the right pick for you. So we pride ourselves on having a very robust list of professionals all over the United States, even the world, that we've worked with, that we try to match people with to get to their goals.
That's so important. So what it sounds like, and I can totally see why this is such an important part of the ERMI alone, like going on and purchasing the ERMI is not going to be sufficient, right? You get the paper back and it's got bright red box with, you know, whatever number in there, and it's just jarring, and then you're left in a panic. start with a consultant who can walk you through the steps. But if, you know, you're ready to go and just want to get a test, don't be doing an ERMI without somebody that's going to be interpreting that for you, because you're just going to be, like you said, left on Facebook or reaching out to people, sending this these results and not have any clear path to go down. So it can do more harm than good, and it can be really jarring and make you make some rash decisions. I have heard of plenty of clients who have ripped their homes down to studs to only find nothing or not find it where they thought it would be. And so just such a big investment. Your home is such a big investment, not only financially, it is often the biggest investment that we are making, but also in our health. Like, this is where we're raising our family. This is where we're sleeping. It's such an important decision that you do not want to be willy-nilly going online, buying a test, getting the results, tearing your home apart, being in financial distress. Just slow it down. Have somebody that you're working with from the beginning who can support you through the whole process. You will likely save a ton of money in the end, and also not maybe go through these stories that you hear of where it's like, this is my second, this is my third, this is my fourth remediation. We still are having issues. You know, it can go sideways really quick. You don't want that. I don't want that for anyone who's listening here. We are here in place to support you from the beginning and just try to do it right from the start. With that, what do you find is the root cause of why there are so many people that are having failed remediations or in round 2, 3, 4 of a remediation? Are things getting missed, or is it poor remediations? Why are some homeowners going through so many remediations?
Sure. I think that one of the bigger pieces of the puzzle is the process can really be chopped up into phases. And, you know, the first phase is we kind of call the discovery phase. And as we were just talking about, the person who inspects your home is so critical to this whole thing. If you don't get that part right, this is why you have multiple remediations. So, you know, especially if you're sick. So there is another, I talk about spectrum all the time. I'll probably say that multiple times throughout this interview, but it's fitting because, you know, there isn't just one type of inspector out there. There are multiple types of inspectors. There are your traditional, you know, what we would call just a mold tester, okay? And this is going to be somebody who ranges in the $500 to $1,000 range. You know, call around locally, they'll come into your house and they'll set up some air samples, and they might do a little bit of a walkabout. They might have some construction experience behind them, and that might be it. You might get a copy of the air sampling report, maybe like a one-page little outline of, they might even measure humidity, but that's it, okay? That is not what we're looking for. We want, you know, someone who's going to be more what we would call like a class 3 or class 4 inspector, someone who's educated, someone who is going to understand engineering, HVAC, who's going to be opening up your HVAC system, looking in there, who's going to be going into your attic, walking around the exterior. They're going to spend most of the day there. And these are going to be the pinnacle of experts in the field who aren't just trying to identify low-hanging fruit, is what we call it, but they're also going to be able to identify potential issues and also be able to provide you with root causes. This is so huge.
Yeah.
So huge. We sometimes get people who've hired inspectors and paid thousands and thousands of dollars, and they've just identified some low-hanging fruit or some very obvious water damage. Or they'll say, like, you've got a humidity problem, but they don't tell you why you have a humidity problem. And so truly, this is what we're looking for. And this is why you'd want to pay that more higher price, is so you only have to hire one person. And this is, again, why we do what we do, because we try to match you with those people that are going to fit for what's happening in your home. But that is a big reason, because if you don't find all the sources, okay, and you move forward with remediation, everybody's eager to make that transition. Everybody, like I said, they want to get past go and they want to get remediation happening. And it's natural that you kind of want to progress into that. But if you don't find all the sources, remediation is a big deal. It's expensive. It's a huge process to go through, especially if you're remediating with health in mind. It's not just, you know, spraying a bunch of chemicals and that's it. You know, it requires, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, I think, but remediation requires a lot. And I think oftentimes that's part of the problem too, is people don't know what remediation actually is. But when it comes to after you get into that process, some of the bigger problems I see is containment. And I guess we'll talk about that. Part of remediation is, it's not just treating mold. In fact, that isn't remediation. Anybody who says the word treat to us is not really a candidate that we would want to work with. I'm not saying that that's wrong. It's just not, if your goal is to try to make a healthy home, treating with chemicals isn't going to get you there. It's about removing that mold and that those water damaged materials in a controlled demolition. And that's very key. Remediators should be setting up critical barriers, negative containment chambers to control as the guys are trying to take out, or girls take out, or to take out these water damaged materials. And they have to do it. Anybody can do like caveman demo. You see it all the time on like TikTok and even Instagram. Anybody can do that. That doesn't really take any skill at all. But true remediation takes precision. It takes training to be able to control that containment, to make sure that you're not spreading all of these microbes and fragments all over the place, to make decontamination more difficult. And two, you know, they're trying to control it under a negative air. So that way they ensure that they're controlling where that airflow goes and where that contamination goes. It's usually out of a window. But when they start changing the cubic feet of that area, like let's say you started digging into a wall, if someone's not controlling that air in the containment, that contamination can backdraft into the wall. And you're never going to be able to get in there and clean. So all these little parts that are kind of boring to regular people, they're really important when it comes to remediation, because somebody's got to clean all that stuff up. And if it gets pushed into the interstitial cavities of your wall, nobody wants to gut their whole house. So that's why that part's important. And we're dealing with stuff that you can't see. So, you know, the interviewing process is really critical to make sure that like the guys that you're working with are really know what they're doing. And so that part, again, is where a consultant can help you, because they can do that more technical vetting that, you know, most homeowners would just get alpha'd out of that conversation really quickly because they're not trained. They don't know the nuances, all of that. And I don't want to just pick on remediation companies, because it's really hard for them to retain good guys. And it's a problem that I see in the industry, because, you know, it takes a lot of investment financially to train an employee to get up to the degree where you are in an actual, you know, licensed IICRC applied microbial remediation technician. You have to take different underwater restoration classes before you get to that level. And the investment per employee is, you know, a couple thousand just to get them trained to do it. So if you've got a crew of 10 guys and it's 3,000 per guy to get them trained, that's 30K. Once they get trained up, then they'll say, hey, I can do this. I'm all licensed. why don't I just go get my business license and I don't have to listen to this guy? I can do this job myself. And then they leave. And what are you supposed to do? Then you're out of a guy. And so that part's hard too. So there are a tremendous amount of reasons that remediation fails. Another big part of it is the cleaning part, the fine particulate cleaning. I find
talk about that. That's important. Yeah. And not often included in the remediation. And it's very costly. It is very costly because of the time it takes to do that. And I'm sure many other reasons, but walk us through what small particle cleaning is, how important it is. Is it a protocol that homeowners can do? Is that a point in the project where they can get involved and do that? Because it is a tedious task to do.
It is. And thank you for bringing that up, because I love being able to help homeowners who are more hands-on. And we do have a lot of families, husbands and wives, who really want to get into the project. What can they DIY? How can we save some money? And that part is something that homeowners can actually do. We actually teach people how to do that. But fine particulate cleaning is after source removal, after the demo, after the remediation company has, you know, taken care of the mold source and the water damage. Let's say they've cut all of that out. They've acutely cleaned that area. They've cleaned inside their containment, but there's the rest of the house. Okay. And the reason that we need to clean the rest of the house is because contamination moves all over the place. Just because the source is in that one area doesn't mean that it's going to stay stagnant in that area. Contamination moves around the house, kind of like smoke or a smell. Like if you were baking brownies, right? The smell would travel through the house really easily, very quickly. And there's all this invisible air movement through our house that we just don't see. So all of that kind of gets all over the place. It gets on your contents, your furniture, and there's no way to kind of say, like, this is where it stops and this is where it starts. So the only way to really truly get your home back to that condition one, that normal fungal ecology, is to bring down the burden, the toxic load, and clean. So that requires fine particulate cleaning of these tiny particulates that you can't see, of the walls, the floors, cabinets, pretty much everything. Usually the house is packed out at this point. And a pack out is where, before remediation, all your contents, your furniture, gets packed out of the house and put into some type of storage. And depending on the intensity of, like, how moldy your house was, sometimes people need to go through their furniture as well. And depending on how sick they are, did they have mycotoxins? They might have to get rid of more porous items, carpets, insulation, things like that. There's this cleaning process that is, again, very time consuming, very laborious, and it requires cleaning the entire house multiple times. And it's a pretty big job. And like you said, very expensive.
Yeah.
And there are some companies out there that will say that they do it, but it's not really what people expect or want. You know, you're not going to be there in the house. For example, you might interview the remediation company and you might talk to the owner of the company, and he might have the greatest personality and is so nice and is like meeting you eye to eye and everything, but he's not the one that's going to be doing anything in your house. And then Monday, the D team shows up to your house and, you know, you're like, wait a minute, this is totally not what I ever expected. And again, when it comes to, like, the training of these guys and these people who are doing the job, who's to say, were they all trained the same? Were they all trained by the same person? That they all have the same concepts that you do, which is remove and not kill. How do you know they're not? How do you know they wiped the wall? Are you going to watch them? Is there any way to prove it? You know, and so that part gets
so
difficult.
True.
And we've been kind of leaning towards, when working with our clients, is teaching them how to do it instead, just because A, it not only saves money, but B, it brings them confidence in knowing that it was done right and that they did it. And it also kind of helps to heal the relationship with their home. And it brings back some feelings of like confidence and safety, where I find that sometimes that doesn't always happen with people who have their mediation company maybe do it. But, you know, everybody has different circumstances, you know, and there's various ways to you know, workarounds for different things. But in a nutshell, that's kind of like what it requires in a very general sense.
There are so many parallels to what you just said to the build back side. I can't even name all of them, but just like what you said with the owner of the small particle cleaning company or the remediation company, they're wonderful. They are incredible. Who's showing up? Like that, same thing, that contractor that you're interviewing, their physical hands are not the ones that are touching your home. You don't know if that subcontractor got in a fight with his wife and he's just pissed off today. Yep. You don't know. So it is, you cannot be hands off. And I think this relates to the mold side of things too. You cannot be hands off. You cannot hire the most incredible mold remediation company you ever found and then come back when it's finished. You have to be involved. You have to have oversight. You are there the one setting the standard. Same thing on the build back side. You have to be there showing up, being involved. And I think what you're doing with the fine particle cleaning is so important because nobody is going to care for your home the way that you are as a homeowner. You're going to get every little nook and cranny. Maybe you'll go over through twice, whereas somebody else would go over it once and done and checked it off the list. I think it is so important to put this back in the homeowner's hands and again, have them, like you said, heal this relationship with their home. Same thing on the build back side. It is so healing for a homeowner to have their eyeballs behind those walls, know what's going on, know that they saw what was behind that wall. It was clean. It was dry. Give them the green light to proceed with putting those walls back together. You can heal so much better inside just having that peace of mind knowing this home is safe because there's so much fear. My goodness, is there so much fear around this entire process from start to finish? And it's not a quick process. Sometimes it can be like a 12-month process. There's so much fear around it from everyone that you talk to, from the discouragement of failed remediations or contractors who don't want to do your project. There's so much fear around it, which is just so sad to hear. You and I have heard some really heartbreaking stories. And I want everyone to know it does not have to be that way.
No.
You don't have to go through this and have failed remediations. You don't have to be fearful of your home. Gosh, I just talked to someone the other day that they're fearful of showering. They're in fear of using their shower. And we can't live like that. We have to heal that part of our relationship with our home and be excited about it. Like,
yeah.
So there's just so many ways to go about this the wrong way, losing money in fear and stressed out and just so many negative things that can take us down a bad path. There are so many positive ways that you can go about handling your home. If you feel like there is mold there, I agree. Having somebody that can support you from the beginning in the mold remediation process, but two, when you get back to the build back side so that you address the root cause, you know that there's no more issues in your home and that you can put it back together and not live in your home in fear and just move on and heal. So much to consider when tackling this whole mountain of mold remediation all the way through the small particle cleaning and building back, but it can be enjoyable. Have you had any clients that have enjoyed this process and at the end said, wow, this wasn't so bad. Thank you for the support. Like it doesn't have to be so terrible. Like it can feel shocking at first. Oh my gosh, our home has mold. but it doesn't have to be an awful experience. It can be enjoyable and empowering in your home, right?
I don't know if anybody's ever said that they've enjoyed it. But I can say that I have had clients who went through it and did not get traumatized, and they actually got closer with their spouse, and we were kind of able to bring them together on the project. I think that with PJ Harlow Wellness, often people see me, but I'm only one half of the company. There's also another half that is just not very visible. My husband, he plays a big part, and he's always in all of our member appointments when it comes to remediation, because he's a AMRT and a WRT. So he's our lead investigator of the company. But we're really big on bringing families together, because we know how this can very easily separate people. It's just part of the process, you know, especially when big money is involved. And oftentimes, not everybody sees eye to eye on how to handle this, especially when traditional construction is like, oh, yeah, it's just some lumber mold, you know, and just throw some bleach on it, you know, and it's like, no, that's not really what we should do. But I think that there's a way to go through this. And like you said, it doesn't have to be traumatic. It can actually be an empowering experience. And are there going to be some hard decisions? Yes, that's just part of the process. But having a team member with you and having a good team, it's just going to change you into a person that maybe you're meant to be. I kind of look at sometimes that I know for me in my own journey, for the longest time, I constantly asked myself, like, why did this happen to me? And then I started saying, well, why not me? And then I kind of turned it around and was like, well, maybe I asked for this. And before I got sick and everything, I was asking for change, and I was looking to God for my life to change. And it's kind of like, be careful what you wish for. But I think I'm not regretful of anything that happened, because I think that it's changed me into the person that I need to be today. And you know, I try to look at mold a little bit differently. Yes, I think that things can be scary, and we're meant to have fear to some degree, but we don't want that to like dominate our lives. You don't want this to overtake you to the point that you're not living. And I see some clients sometimes, and we do those style appointments too, where we take people through the trauma. I still have clients that I've been working with for 3 years, and they're still working on the traumatic experience that they had. And most of them didn't work with us through the whole project. They came on after, you know, working with other companies. People don't always find us until they're already in it, but at least we can kind of try to turn it around. I always try to teach my students, there's always a workaround. You know, don't ever feel like you're in a position where there's something that you can't achieve. And there's always something we can do. Nothing is ever so permanent that there's not some way we can try to get through it with another option. So I agree with you on that part totally.
Thank you. Thank you for everything that you do, for helping people, you know, navigate this really scary process from the beginning. But I think you shared a lot of great, like, practical tips. There's way too much information out there that just kind of makes this feel like a sea of confusion. And I don't know if that's on purpose. There's just too much information out there to where people get scared, fearful, go out, get something like an ERMI test or just an air test, and then it kind of can spiral from there. So thank you for providing some clarity and some realistic solutions of how to go about this right the first darn time. Please do not go through multiple remediations. It is no fun for anyone. So it doesn't have to be fearful. You don't have to have stress and anxiety through the whole process. Just get supported, get some clarity, and then have some involvement in your project. This is your home. So I think it's great that you're suggesting that homeowners get involved, at least in that fine particle cleaning stage, to really make sure that things are dialed in at the end. So I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to be here, to share your knowledge with everyone listening. Can you give us some takeaways? How can people work with you? Is there anything that you're working on that we can look for on the horizon? How do we get more PJ Harlow in our life?
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked. So people can always go to our website, pjharlowwellness.com, and everything's automated on our website. So if you want a book, you can just do a drop-in session, no commitment. You can just do a 30-minute, like, hey, I want to ask you some questions, and we'll help you out the best we can. If you know that you have mold, or you're like in the middle of remediation, or you're kind of in a problem, you know, we do offer urgent sessions on Sundays, but we also have our membership, which is pretty much going to be where you get your referrals and all your benefits and access to our library and, you know, weekly appointments and things like that. We try to make it really simple. It's kind of like a gym, right? You can either be a member or you can do like a drop-in. And So we lay it out pretty easy. It's all on our website. So I heavily recommend, if you're considering working with us, head over to there. We're pretty active on our Instagram. And I'll be like kind of like dropping a big announcement here, but I've been kind of teasing about a new school that we're coming out with called H3 Academy, or the Academy of Holistic Home Health and Mold Sciences. And our very first course is going to be on decontamination, and it's going to be pretty groundbreaking. I am so excited. I've been working on this for literally like 3 years, and I've really worked to create something that's never been done before to help people make their decontamination much more micro individualized based on their specific case and their specific health. And so I've been working on this for quite a big time, because it's just been a lot to try to figure out how can we help people make this process more individualized and personalized to their experience versus just the cookie cutter type of decontamination. And we have videos where we're actually showing you literally how to not only decontaminate your contents, but how to decontaminate your house. So this could be, instead of working with us when this drops, like somebody who wants to decontaminate their house as part of the remediation could purchase the course, and they could learn everything you need, exactly how to do it. And it also has, whether you're a super crunchy family or maybe you're not, maybe you just want what's going to be most efficacious and most powerful, we have options for everybody, because we know that there's a variety of people that are in our audience. So we try to offer options for everyone. It's really awesome. Like, I can't wait. Obviously, you're going to do a little beta testing for me here in the next few weeks, but I hope I'm hoping it'll be launching in like mid to late June.
Okay, so we're in April now, so maybe just like 2 months away. Yeah. And you'll have this on your website, I'm sure, the moment that it comes out, so you can head over there. We do have a code. I think it only works for the ERMI interpretations. And so we have a code. We'll put it in the show notes. It's Christine10, so you can get 10% off. I know some of your services, every little penny helps. So you can head over there to work with PJ and her husband there. But thank you so much for this. I'm really excited about this new membership. Just more ways for people to feel supported through this whole process. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And new episodes every Wednesday to help empower you in your home and take that fear out of building, dealing with mold, and anything you are going through. So thank you, PJ, for being here.
Thank you.